Try to imagine a world without electricity. One where you cannot preserve food in your fridge or charge a phone that allows you to connect with family and friends. A world with no internet and no proper light after the sun sets. For many of us, these things are a given, but
not everybody knows is that still a large share of the global population, around 700 million people on this planet that don't have any electricity access at all, and where 3 billion people across the planet are still cooking on solid biomass fuels, wood, charcoal, coal. These people suffer. The days end at 7 o'clock when the sun goes down. It starts at 7 when the sun goes up. And that's a scandal that in 2021, what is it, 125 years or something like that, 150 years after electricity has been invented and electric light has been invented, that this is still the case. And the way it looks right now, that problem will still exist in 2030.
A huge part of sustainable development is ensuring access to affordable, reliable, and sustainable energy, and leaving no one behind in the process. We are now in the decade of action, and here we'll talk with companies and experts from all over the world about how they're taking actions on the SDGs. To learn from each other about the challenges, opportunities, and solutions on the road towards 2030. From the GRI, this is The Rising Tide. Episode on SDG 7, Affordable and Clean Energy. As we just heard from Koen Petters, the executive director at Gokla, a global association for the off-grid solar energy industry, we are not on track to meeting the goals of clean, reliable, and sustainable energy for all by 2030. Up until now, innovation has been key in shaping the industry.
Yeah, the first decade of this century, that white LED light was invented, and that made a big change for our industry, but because that meant that you could pack a decent quality of lighting with a much smaller battery, with a much smaller solar panel. What happened then is that some smart entrepreneurs were connecting this kind of technology with mobile connectivity technology, and that gave a second wave, a second push of innovation to our industry. We call that the pay-as-you-go technology. And what we see now, the next wave of innovation is trying to use those assets of solar home systems, and companies are also trying to use those assets to provide other services to households.
Some of the larger companies were real pioneers, having laid the foundation for significant impact in the energy industry.
Some of the larger companies are those that were the early pioneers in our industry. D-Light, Greenlight Planet, they are what we call vertically integrated companies that have designed and have product manufactured in China, also providing that pay-as-you-go technology or doing cash sales, having their own sales agent, but also maintaining networks of distributors that work for them, and they operate in tens of countries. Then there's many companies that are trying to do similar things. What we see is companies are trying less hard right now to be fully vertically integrated companies, so they either focus on being a manufacturer of new products that they're trying to seek new customer groups. And then what we also see is new companies, African-owned distributors that are buying products off the shelf from those manufacturers and from importers, and trying to find new customer groups, trying to set up new pay-as-you-go business models in African countries. We see some companies that are trying to service these markets. There's about a half a dozen companies that are providing the software solutions for pay-as-you-go companies and platforms. There are companies that are focusing on investment solutions. There are consultants that are specifically focusing on addressing the financing needs and servicing needs of those companies. So it's becoming a bit of an ecosystem.
But not every solution is a success. And not every company reaches significant impact with its products. An example is when Koen helped establish African companies around grid solar electrification and biofuel, with the idea to sell solar panels combined with compact fluorescent light. But
that technology didn't work very well. It was expensive. It gave people just a few hours of light. People also wanted to power their black and white televisions with it that they ran for an hour or two, and then they ended abruptly halfway during the football match. People weren't really happy about it. The other was a Yatrofa biofuel company, and Yatrofa looked very promising at the beginning of this century as a new biofuel. But it was a hype. It was also the financial crisis. So the investment that we saw coming didn't materialize. The company was struggling to raise finance and to scale up. But I think in the end, it was only lucky that it didn't raise more finance, because it would have meant more investors burning their fingers. The crop didn't catch on. And at the moment, there's not much Yatrofa biofuel projects existing anymore.
But failure as such is not something unusual for industries, and it's not necessarily a tragedy either. Fail fast and fail often is probably Silicon Valley's most striking mantra in the pursuit of life-changing innovations. And Silicon Valley has previously expressed interest in the off-grid solar energy too, with expectations of unicorns and fast growth.
In the early years of this, there was definitely enthusiasm from Silicon Valley, where they saw similarities in the trajectories of companies, and they were expecting that there were unicorns, like the companies valued at $1 billion, possible in our industry, and fast growth like we saw in Silicon Valley. I think the years after that were giving us a little bit of a sanity check on that front. We are still a hardware industry. You can't get electricity access to households without getting hardware to them. And when you have hardware, then you also need to service that. And there's a supply chain that needs to go back to make it circular and make sure that we deal with the e-waste at the end of the line. So it's not like a software company where you can almost zero costs multiply your number of customers. Those kind of breakthroughs you should not expect in our industry.
So that's the nature of the industry. Taking into the account that there's a cost to scalability and that the customers often live in volatile markets, so the price point needs to be kept as low as possible. This makes it very hard to develop a profitable business model.
What we see right now, some 10 years in, is that we also need to accept as an industry that the profitability story that we had foreseen for our industry a few years ago is not really materializing as much as we were hoping. Selling energy access products to poor people in often remote areas is, of course, very hard. We need to do that at price points as low as possible. But what we've seen throughout those 8 years or so that I've been working with Gogla is the vast challenges that are being thrown at this industry. COVID is, of course, a massive incident that's hurting economies and industries everywhere. But also without COVID, we had droughts, we had locust plagues, we had demonetization, we had currency slides. We had civil war. There's always massive incidents that are making life hard for our companies. And what we see is that under those circumstances, our industry has been resilient and has been realizing an impressive growth, but is also at the moment becoming a bit stagnant in reaching a next level of growth. We're not really meeting the expectations of private and commercial investors. They find it a risky business. Some of that because they don't quite understand our industry, but some of that also because the risks are real. It's difficult to sell in these markets.
So the industry is resilient and has experienced impressive growth despite the obvious challenges. But what is then needed to break the stagnant phase and take the development and the access to off-grid solutions to the next level?
So where we are right now is that we are changing somewhat the message to governments and saying, we are not a private sector that will grow and deliver to all your customers on a commercial proposition. That's not what we can do, selling energy access product to poor and remote people is hard, and we can't do that on a commercial basis alone. Governments, you will need to come in, and donors will need to come in with public funding to subsidize our industry, to help us access investment capital, to help us make the products more affordable to the end users. And that doesn't mean that we're failing as an industry. That's meaning that we are admitting that we need to work together with public sector to achieve public goals. And we think it's entirely justified, because all the other routes towards electrification are going to take more public funding. Our electricity connections in your household and in my household are almost 100% subsidized, and then we pay for the electricity that that comes into the socket, and that's a price level that's cost recovery and making a margin for the utilities. But the initial infrastructure and the connections have been vastly subsidized. And if you look at all the options that we have to electrify households in Africa and Asia, where people still need to be electrified, then the most cost-effective route is to do that through off-grid solutions.
In a modern society, access to energy becomes a public good. And Gokla is changing the messaging, calling for increased collaboration with the public sector to deliver on goals and commitments, as for example set out in SDG 7.
When I joined this industry in 2014, the feeling was that this industry had solutions towards energy access that the public-owned utility companies and the government-led infrastructure development programs couldn't offer, but that they would not recognize. So this is an industry that tried to sit under the radar, trying to provide services to households, but not getting too much on the radar of governments, because that would only spell trouble, such as regulation and import duties and quality standards and price regulation, etc., that everybody was scared and afraid of. Also, subsidy schemes were the talk of the day as a complaint. People talked about subsidy schemes and giveaway schemes as something that was disrupting the market situation for our members. Some 5 years later, we saw that that differing. We saw that changing, and we felt that actually we needed governments to understand our market, to prevent them coming in with harmful regulation, and to make sure that they understood what our market is trying to achieve and what it can contribute, and make sure that that fits into their electrification planning, and that we had clarity on what they wanted to do with energy access in which parts of the country. That they saw off-grid solar as part of the solution. So we've been then starting to engage more with governments and trying to tell them what we were trying to do, trying to educate them to a certain degree, also bringing them together so that they can learn.
This is yet another illustration of the importance of collaborations and partnerships in reaching the SDGs.
But certainly they can scale a lot faster than the traditional ways of providing electricity by rolling out grids or having mini-grids. In that sense, there is already a massive breakthrough that you now have plug-and-play installations that you can you get on the day that you can that you sign up the new customer. You can ship it out and you can install it and have it operational. That's a massive change compared to traditional electrification. And the importance of that speed is not sufficiently seen yet by governments and the public stakeholders that are dealing with energy access. One of the messages that we have as an industry is, no, you need to think differently. You need to think in patterns of business growth and business ecosystems growth. We start small, but then if it's successful and it catches on, we can grow at 50% a year, we can grow at 100% a year. If you continue that and you get that almost exponential growth, then we can really scale fast over the next few years. But that means that you need to start now with that small business and with that small learning and those small steps, and not just focus on the big bang solution that you think is going to take 3 years, but in actuality is going to take you 6 years, and which you think is going to cost you 500 million, but in reality is going to cost you 1.2 billion.
It is clear that the off-grid solar and efficient appliance industry can play a key role in achieving SDG 7 and clean, reliable and sustainable energy for all by 2030. Particularly when it comes to leaving no one behind. It is closely linked with other SDGs and can potentially improve health and education, as well as create jobs and income opportunities. And the good news is the basis is there, so we just need to get going on the road to 2030.
We don't need more innovation to address the issue. We have the technology at hand. We have the business models at hand. We have the public-private sector cooperation programs. We know what it takes to really roll out these middle business models and scale up and reach everyone before 2030. We need to get going, and we need to make sure that we make progress on starting with small subsidy schemes and investment promotion schemes, and the talk of the town in our industry is result-based financing schemes as the way of using public finance in the most in an effective way to promote the market without being very disruptive for the market. So those result-based financing schemes, they work quite well. They've been piloted in a number of countries and situations and regions, and they work. So let's roll them out. Let's do more.
The Rising Tide podcast is co-produced by the GRI and Naranja Media. We want to thank Koen Peeters for sharing his time and expertise. This interview was conducted in November of 2021. We also want to thank the Swedish government for making this podcast series possible. We greatly appreciate their long-standing support for sustainable development work, catalyzing actions towards the SDGs. My name is Tina Nybo Jensen. Thank you for listening.